I'll thank this band again, wherever they're going. Thank you again for being here. I just again say happy Mother's Day. How special you are to us. Happy Mom's Day, Mama. Praise the Lord. New people. Anybody here new? Never been here before? Honored to have you. All right, now hang on a second. Let me build it up better. It's an honor that new people come. And for 16 to 17 years now, we have had, I don't know if there's ever been a single service ever that we haven't had new people. And a lot of times there's a lot of new people. And that's a testimony to a few things: the Spirit of God moving, people that spread the word, our billboard that we have on at Sewer Junction 29183. But a lot of times it's you know, trying to figure out what a cowboy church is. You know, do you have to be a cowboy to be, you know, or attend this church? And obviously the answer is no. We welcome everybody, but just to help you understand, cowboy churches were kind of birthed in that cowboy movement in 1970. And I think God kind of obviously knows what he's doing, right? Because we are a culture of people. And I came from a ranching family. We have ranched, I believe, when Dad started ranching as I was born in Arizona. And then before that, they ranched a place in New Mexico and so on. And then from John Wayne's ranch in Arizona, then they came to, Fort Stockton, and then the ranch in Sonora, Texas. And so we just been raised that way. And you have to understand that the cowboy world is a culture of people. And that's kind of how we all got started, riding a horse because we didn't have cars and so on. But with that and that culture of people, and I'm seeing it come to pass today, that we're still the last culture of people that's still very bold and masculine. And that's been lost. And that's why it's so tough on marriages, because when men are not taught how to be a godly man, then the woman has to become the man. And it's not right. It's too much pressure. And they've got to do it all sometimes. And so we teach that. But more than that, in the cowboy world, and that's why there's a movement right now in the Western world, is I believe God is using this culture of people, bold people, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, when our country and our world is going the opposite of it. They're trying to remove God from this country. We have a whole party that their platform is anti-God. Now there's Christians in that party, but so that's half the people that, you know, their party doesn't believe that God should be the true reign of our lives and our country. Well, we have another thing to say about that, because this country was founded on our God. And that's why our country still celebrates the birth of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection of Him. And so if it takes a Western person or a cowboy to say, no, we're not backing up, we're not digressing back to the days of Babylon, the days of unbelief, and we're going to keep pressing forward, and we're going to make this country still a country of prayer. Now, it got taken out of school, but how many of you know that was our fault? We didn't stand up. And so again, 1970, God began to birth this movement. And it's nothing. We don't preach anything other than the Word of God. We just do it with boldness. So I think when people come and they start understanding what a cowboy church is, you don't have to be a cowboy. All we're doing is trying to get the gospel back to the barn mentality. where Jesus was born. He was born in the barn. And I think sometimes we've made church. I went to a church the other day with my sister-in-law. It's been about a year. And we was down there visiting, and so we wanted to go to church. And I thought the place was on fire. And then I realized that they just had smoke machines. How church has changed. And I'm not against all that. Praise the Lord. But there's something about hearing the real engrafted Word of God that will change your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. So, for all of you that came, God, thank you. Because again, you had to pass a few churches to get here. And so we just pray that you have a great time. Understand that we're very down to earth, but we preach this Bible. Amen. So, if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, hopefully you got a visitor packet. If you didn't, just raise your hand and let us get you one. Inside that packet is a pen and a visitor card. Please fill it out for us. But we want to welcome you. If you've never been to Cowboy Church, one more time, raise your hand and let us welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Honor to have you. Honor to have you guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming. Hallelujah. All right. I want to ushers, don't wait on me. Just get after it. You know what to do. But I want this crowd to clap for tithes and offerings, please. Now, I say this as often as I can because I was raised in some churches that never said anything about tithing and offerings and money because they were afraid that it might split the church because of maybe some television evangelist that did some gimmick selling a prayer, some prayer water, or, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not against any of that. I think what happened is people then didn't understand, didn't understand what does the Bible say about finances, and it got our minds to thinking that they were just trying to get money from us. And so 17 years ago in June, when we started this thing, I heard you. When we started this church, after we had just turned over the Lubbock, Texas church at the barn that I helped start to Ted and Jan Currington, the pastors there, the Lord told me not to take a salary at this church. And most of you know now, I don't take a salary. But what it's enabled me to do is to teach on finances, just for a short time, every Sunday. Because the majority of my counseling sessions deal with finances in some way. The stress. You know, when your body is sick, you can usually trace it back to stress in the financial area. In your marriage, something broke down, you wasn't expecting, an accident that ends up costing money, like a kid throwing a baseball through the window. And then it can get bigger than that. One of Seth's friends got grounded the other day because he got the truck, it's a ranch truck, he said. And he was jumping some hills a little bit too high and the oil pan came off, I don't know about y'all, but those kind of things take money to fix, So what we do here at Cowboy Church is we start teaching people, what does the Bible say about finances? Because ultimately, if you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, old things have passed away and behold, all things become new. And we have to start operating like the Bible. We don't operate like the world. No, we're in a different kingdom. And that's what we do at this church, is we teach you how to start thinking in the kingdom ways. And one of God's kingdom principles He created, sowing and reaping. That's the economy that we live in. Whatsoever a man soweth. Matter of fact, if you have a Bible, just real fast, you can flip to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And the Bible says in verse 6, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly," that's how he's going to reap, "also sparingly." Now, you can find sowing and reaping all the way from the front of the Bible to the back of it. Because again, it's God's economy. What do you do when you're working on a job? You're sowing seed. You are working and sowing seed. What for? For the harvest. And most people get the harvest on Friday, let's say. The week later, and some maybe 2 weeks is your pay schedule. But you're sowing the seed. And those people that work harder make more money. Because that's just the way the principle of God works. If you sow sparingly and you just try to barely get by on a job, you probably won't get promoted because they're not going to see very much from you. But look what the word says. "But he that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And here's where I'm going. Verse 7. "For every man," let me read it out of the Amplified. "Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart." Now think about that for just a second. Let everyone give as he purposed in his heart. Someone that understands tithing and offering and first fruits and alms, those four ways that the Bible teaches us how to give, really they got it. They understand the principle. Because money's not controlling you then. You're controlling it. Look what this says. "Let each of us, each one give as he's made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves. He takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is willing to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving." If you start changing the way you start giving and you start sowing, it's kind of like a marriage. Man, if us men will sow the love that we have for our wives constantly, it's always going to come back to us. We won't be fighting. We'll be able to get over, not let the sun go down on our wrath. We'll have marriages that actually last more than a year or two. Because it's tough, man. But it's going to take both people understanding that when you understand the principles of God, even in this part where we're talking about giving, man, watch what God will do in your life. Amen. So, in this bucket and in that bucket, I want y'all to come give with that heart, that it's purposed in your heart to give joyfully to the Lord. Amen. So come give with a big old shout of praise. Joe, there you are. Praise the Lord. Nice. Thank you so much. Amen. That's all right. You can listen. You could have left it there, John. But let's all, everybody watch him. Doing a good job. Where'd you go? Oh, thank God for John, boy. He is a blessing in my life. He just is. He told me years ago, if you ever start another church, I'm going with you. I said, well, I prayed. And because that's what the Lord was doing there for a while is, man, I think our first one we started in Canyon, Texas. Big, big outreach. We started it at now a 25-time world champion, Trevor Brazil's. his girlfriend at the time before they got married in their apartment. It turned into a big old deal. Town started coming, and then we went to Odessa, started one there. So we'd drive from Canyon, then drive to Odessa. Then the Lord opened up an outreach in El Paso. So I would drive up there, and me and another friend of mine that started in the ministry with me, Trey Johnson, he would drive coming home because he had to go to Texas Tech to school the next morning. And so we'd get home at 5 in the morning. That was the only time we would rope, so we'd go rope. And then he would go to class, and doesn't matter what I did. And then we started a church in Albany. This God doing a mighty work. And then Lubbock started, and it turned into a really big church as well. And so then here. And so I asked the Lord one day, I said, Father, would you just give me somewhere to base, you know? And so for 17 years, he hadn't said a word about going anywhere else. So I'm stuck with you. Or you're stuck with me, maybe. Amen. But it's an honor to pastor this great church. Now, with that said, all of you probably know that he's never stopped me from traveling. And sometimes it's become an issue with some people that don't understand that their pastor goes and preaches. Well, coming up in June, the middle of June, I'm gone for a couple of Sundays, and I take a tent to the college national finals, rodeo finals in Casper, Wyoming. Not only do Ricky and Daryl and their families and some of the church, some people in the church go just to help us. Major, major ministry. Because those contestants from all over the country, the best in the world rodeo-wise in college, they go to Casper to the college finals. And they're there for a week. They can either go after the performances at night to the bar, or they can come to the tent. And praise God, they come to the tent. We had to get a bigger tent. And then they sit all around the edges because they can't fit 300 in the tent. And so God does a mighty thing. So the Lord has never really stopped me. He hasn't released me not to travel. And I asked him one time why. And it was as clear as day. He said, well, because no one else will go. Listen to me. The harvest is ripe. Amen. All right, so when the kids leave, we're going to jump into the Word of God and our youth. I'm so glad and honored that our youth are prospering and growing. But the kids' church, wow, Mary's done such a wonderful job. So with that said, big round of applause, kids' church. Youth group, you're dismissed. Out the back end. Now, y'all that have a Bible, I want you to get it out really fast, and I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I want to thank all the people that are watching online. I realize that we have some great friends now that watch from all over the country, from California to Florida. A lot of Montana people are starting to watch us, and we appreciate that. We ask you, y'all that are watching, and even y'all that are here, to go and share these messages. Because that's what really spreads the word that, I mean, people are like, wow, I didn't know we could watch your services. And so you can, but it's going to be up to you to click share on whatever social media you're watching it from, primarily Facebook or whatever. But we thank you for being here. I also thank you guys again for spending your Mother's Day with us here in the engrafted Word of God. I want to jump right into a message because I don't have just a lot of time, and I'm hoping to finish it today. And then next week and the next week we'll jump on something else. But my job, as I've tried to tell you guys, my job, I believe God has mandated me to get the body of Christ, especially the flock that God has given me to shepherd, some understanding on how to live in these last days. I think all of us understand that we're in the last days. We don't have to turn on the news. It's very evident. You know, a president that got social media cut off from him, the body of Christ, the churches, because of a pandemic, were stopped in a lot of ways. Now, of course, all of us, we didn't stop. Amen. And I think that's why this church has grown, is because people now are still searching for churches that are meeting. I talked to a friend in Oklahoma yesterday. I was in Duncan, Oklahoma, and he just began to tell me what they were doing, and I agreed with all of it. I thought it was great that they now have 20 home churches because they're not meeting all together. Personally, I like to meet all together. I like that assembly. I like the power of God. But now they're meeting in small groups in 20 or 30 homes, and all that's good because the power of God is coming. And what they were saying, and which I agree with, is that the church doesn't have to stop even if the government tries to make us stop. We continue on. But I also think that there's got to be some boldness of us not allowing a government to tell us what to do, because there is a constitution that does not allow that. But if you and I don't stand up for the Constitution, then that's why rights then and privileges and freedom is taking from a country that is the home of the brave. It's a very free country. And yes, we got to stand up, and thank God for Texas, because Texas then enacted a few laws that are speedily going through our state government to protect churches where we cannot ever be shut down. Because listen to me, the lie of the devil tried to deceive us and shut us down because he felt like that if he shut the church down, and that's again why our country is in the place that it's in, is because the devil, if he can shut down the power, then he thinks that he's got a leg up. Now, us believers, though, when you read the Bible, we find out that we have read the end and we win no matter what. But with that winning, it's going to take you and I to understand who you are in Christ. And we're going to talk about this morning. Now, last week, I began in the Gospels, and we're going to start in Mark chapter 4. And we're going to talk about the third, recollection of what God was trying to teach a multitude of people. And we read the account of Matthew, and we read the account of Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, about sowing and reaping and the seed. And Jesus began to teach in a parable. And we kind of talked about this word mystery that we're going to see again today. And I'm hoping to drive this home to you and to me, because again, in these last days, if we don't know who we are in Christ and we don't know the power that you and I have as a believer in Him, if you don't know that you serve a Jesus that has the name above every name, then that's why the enemy then can come above you and try to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And if you're not careful and you don't know who you are in Christ, then you may let Him have a whole lot more authority in your life to do just those three things, to steal, kill, and destroy. But you don't have, let me say it this way. The devil has no rights over a believer in Jesus Christ. All you've got to do is get some knowledge of the Word of God and be taught what the Word of God says and understand that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Oh, and man, when you get a hold of that, then you won't let sin mess with you and try to condemn you and make you guilt-ridden. No, you may get convicted by the Spirit of God, but you're not going to be down because of what you might have done yesterday or in your past. No, the Bible teaches us to press forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Not to constantly look at all the mistakes we made back when. God is always a forward-looking God. He does not want us to look at our past, because if we did, then we would be here in a testimony situation constantly of guess what happened to me back in college. And there are times when we have to give our testimonies of how we went from one thing of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ and got delivered. Came out in victory instead of being the old victim constantly. So you and I need to start getting mature in the Word of God, because if you're born again and you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, it does not matter when. Me, May the 10th, 1979. So I've been serving the Lord a while. But there's people probably here this morning that got saved last week. If you're born again, you are in a new kingdom of God. You have to learn how to live in a different way. That's why in the world system, the Bible kind of calls us peculiar people, because we're set apart from the way the world operates. Because again, you and I, because of Jesus, we now follow this Bible from the front of it to the back of it. We don't leave anything out of it in this church. We do talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We talk about that tongue stuff. You know, I was raised Southern Baptist, so they didn't ever talk about that stuff. Matter of fact, they always said it was of the devil. Never understood that. Because I walked away from God for a couple of years in college. He didn't walk away from me, but I did him, and I never spoke in tongues. Till you start finding out about the baptism and with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you start finding out the power according to Hebrews or Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, and so on. And the Corinthians, oh man, you need to get a hold of that stuff. But again, we've got to find out who we are in Christ Jesus. Okay? So when you turn to Mark chapter 4, Jesus begins to teach us a few things about how we are to live in the kingdom of God in these last days. Verse 1, he says, and I'm gonna read out of the Amplified Bible. Most of y'all know, it would be my advice to you so that you can follow along with me, because the ministers that preach here, I try to get them to kind of follow my suit, but if they don't, they don't. But if they do, I give them rewards. I have a parallel Bible. One side is the Amplified, the other side is the King James. I like the King James because that's how I was taught. I was raised in the King James. I can find the scriptures in the King James. I can quote them. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's how I was raised. So I like the King James. It's lasted over all the years of the Bible. It's the oldest. But I understand that these thous and thuses are kind of hard to understand. So I like the Amplified that amplifies the word. But each of the words still needs to be tested. So I'm going to be reading now the Amplified, verse 1. Of Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the lake, and a very great crowd, think about that, gathered about him, so that he got into the ship in order to sit in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was at the lakeside on the shore. He taught them many things in parables, allusions, or comparisons, Put beside truths to explain them. And in his teaching he said to them, give attention to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell along the path. The birds came up and ate it. Other seed of the same kind fell on ground full of rocks, where it had not much soil, and it once sprung up because it had no depth of soil, When the sun came up, it was scorched. And because it had not taken root, it withered away. Other seed of the same kind fell among thorns. Plants and thistles grew, pressed together, utterly choked and suffocated it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed of the same kind. You notice it keeps talking that this seed is all the same kind of seed being cast, and some of it is fallen into these different areas. Other seed of the same kind fell into good, this is what I like, well adapted soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding up to 30 times as much, 60 times as much, and even 100 times as much as had been sold. As he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him be hearing and let him consider and comprehend. Verse 10. And as soon as he was alone, so he left them, right? He had to leave the multitude, and there was a lot of them. Those who were around him with the 12 apostles, so there was a few people still left around him. The 12 apostles began to ask about parables. Hang on now. Verse 11, he said to them, to you has been entrusted the mystery. Every single account of the Gospels about this parable talks about the mystery. He said to them, to you has been entrusted. Now remember, who is he talking to? He's talking to the ones that are real close to him. The 12 are starting to ask some questions. The 12 are the ones that saw the miracles. Blind Bartimaeus being healed, praise God. The woman with the issue of blood touching the hem of his garment and being healed by the power of God. I mean, they saw all of these things. They saw Lazarus being raised from the dead after being dead for 4 days. I'm talking stinking dead. Amen. And then God raised him. Okay, so keep that in mind as we continue to read here, that he's talking to people that have seen and witnessed the power of God. And now they're talking about a mystery of the kingdom of God, that is the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the what? Ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable. In order that they may indeed look and look, but not see and perceive, and may hear and hear, but not grasp and comprehend, lest happily they should turn again, and it, their willful rejection of the truth, should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables? And then he answers something that they needed desperately, that you and I need today in these last days. He said this to them, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. In other words, God's trying to teach you and I that we've got to get the word on the inside of us, because the word is our seed. We can't be using parables from now on, because the parables are for unbelievers. They're for, now don't get me wrong, because I've known a lot of Christians that have not gotten the word of God on the inside of them. All they've done is put the helmet of salvation on so that they don't have to die and go to hell. But then they wonder why the attacks come and they have no victory over the attacks. It's because, I'm glad you said that. Here's why. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5 real fast. Go towards the back of your Bible. Hebrews chapter 5. Check this out, y'all. Hebrews chapter 5. And look with me. Say amen if you're at Hebrews chapter 5. Look at this, y'all. Here's the reason that even some Christians have to be taught in parables. You ready? Verse 12, it says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teaches you again, which be the first principles or of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You know what God's trying to tell you and I? It doesn't matter how long you've been born again. It's time to grow up and get the meat of the word of God so that you don't have to be taught by a parable. And if that's you and you desire that, I'm telling you, watch the devil run from you. Because you get that authority to tell that devil where to go. Do you realize the devil is just a fallen angel? Amen. You and I are made in the image of God in His likeness. You and I were created to stand or sit in the presence of God, but not an angel. Thank God for angels. Mom saw some around here the other day as the presence of God was thick in this church. And thank God for my protecting angel. I need it. Thank God for the minister and angels. I'm so honored that God created angels. But He did not create an angel like He created you and I. He created you in His likeness. And then He said, I give you the authority to use My name. That at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. Woo-hoo. You see, that's something that you and I need to understand as a believer in Jesus Christ. But a lot of times, the way we were raised, we're more afraid of the devil than he's afraid of us. I've told y'all that story. Mama, grandma, my dad's mom come to me and says, Corey, if you ever talk to the devil, don't talk out loud. I said, why, mama? She said, because he might hear you. Which all she was saying is, at that time in her life, she was more of afraid of the attacks of the enemy than the enemy was afraid of the power that she had in her life because of Jesus Christ. A lot of times, we're still on the milk of the Word of God when God is wanting us to chew a little bit. I'm telling you, even if you got saved last week, God can cause you to have teeth to dig into the meat of the Word of God. It's all up to you, though. You're either going to stay a babe, or you're going to grow up in Christ Jesus. The babes, yeah, they get offended all the time. They're upset. Church has burnt them or whatever. But man, if we just keep loving on them, then hopefully they will get their teeth in and start digesting the Word of God. Because let me tell you something right now. The devil is really adamant about this one thing right now. Deception. He is trying to deceive like we've never seen deception before. He's deceiving the body of Christ that there really is no power. That we just have to operate in the ways of the world. No, you don't. You are set apart, praise God. And again, when you find out who you are in Christ, that's when your shoulders get back and your chest gets out and you stand up and you start doing the things of God regardless of what the world says. And I'm going to give you some advice. If you want to get very wealthy financially, don't live by the ways of the world like the stock market, because it will go up and it will go down. But the kingdom of God will constantly go up. Now, you may be in the stock market, but I'm here to tell you, make sure you're being led by the Spirit of God at all times. And then you'll never make a mistake. Now, I need to tell you that we do live in a world, but we are not supposed to live of it. We are set apart. Okay? Now, as I'm driving this home a little bit more, are y'all going with me? Or are y'all on the trailer in the back? Okay? Come on up to the front. It's a good seat. There's no wind up here. Now, I want you to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because, again, what are we doing, class? Come on, y'all. What we're trying to do is grow people up in these days. Now, I didn't say you wouldn't make mistakes. I didn't say that you might blow it. But come on, get up. Let's go. Understand that we live because of what Jesus did by dying, conquering the grave, death, hell, is He's a very compassionate, forgiving, merciful God. Full of grace. So there's been a lot of times when I've blown it. But the very time that I said, God, forgive me, faster than that, not only did He forgive me, He forgot about it. Now, my friends didn't forget about it. But it doesn't matter what the friends say. What matters is, what does God say? I've told people this a lot. I said, I want to be a God pleaser. It's real easy to be a man pleaser, because you want friends. But I would rather be a God pleaser, because if you're a God pleaser, then people trust you more. And they're going to be coming to you when all hell breaks loose in their life. And listen to me. Hell is breaking loose in a lot of people's lives. And I don't mean to demean really the terrible things that are about hell, the place, because it's bad, bad. You don't want to ever go there. I mean, you study out hell. The Bible says you'll beg forever and ever and ever and ever for just one drop of water on your tongue. So hot. Utter darkness. You ever been in a room where you can't see your hand in front of your face? Think about that, though. The fear that comes not being able to see anything. I mean, hell's not a good place. That's why I'm out there as fast as I can, because the harvest is ripe. I mean, I'm trying to get them into the kingdom of God so they don't have to go to hell. I don't want anybody going to hell. But they're just one of me. There's just one of you. And it's sad. It's very sad to know that the Word says that road to destruction and to hell is very wide and very broad. And the road to the glorious heavenly place is not used a lot. I mean, look at this church. We're here 300 to 400 people. But think about the thousands that live around us. So as fast as I can, I'm trying to get them into the kingdom of God. But when they get into the kingdom of God, that's the time that they don't need to keep drinking the milk. We've got to grow them up faster in these days. I just think that these are the days that we got to grow them up faster and start, not because of guilt or condemnation, but just because we don't want them to perish through the attacks of the enemy that would cause one to leave the faith. Do you realize that that's what the Bible talks about in the last days, that people will walk away from the faith of Jesus Christ? Why? Why would you do that? There's protection right here. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow, the protection of God Almighty. First Corinthians, where did I tell you? First Corinthians chapter 2. Go there just real fast, because I need to deal with one thing before we baptize and before we have people join our church that the Lord instructed me to do. So I need to get you through this real fast, because again, I need you to grow up. We got, all of us, we've got to grow up and get the meat of the Word of God so that we'll know what to do and how to live in these times. Are we going to always be offended? Let me give you some other advice. I mean, I'm in some good advice given today. It'd probably be beneficial for you not to watch the news. That'd mess you up. Not unless you're real mature and you're just seeing the signs of the times. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 in the Amplified. As for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony and evidence or mystery, and secret of God concerning what He has done through Christ for the salvation of men in lofty. I didn't do it in lofty words, elegance, or human philosophy or wisdom. For I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and Him crucified. That's all I want you to see. I don't have to talk right, use perfect English. I don't have to do it with a suit and tie. I don't have to do it in an elegant way. I just want you to hear about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and Him crucified. Verse 3. And I was in, passed into a state of weakness and fear, dread, and great trembling after I had come among you. My language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. Glory be to God. The power of God. A proof by the Spirit and power of God operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers and most holy emotions, and thus persuading them, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, in human philosophy, but in the power of God. Yet, when we are all full grown, spiritually matured Christians, here's we're talking about this, getting the meat of the Word of God again. When we're all full grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, that's why if I was just a baby Christian, that's why I would be at every Bible study. I would be at someone's house asking all kinds of questions about the Word of God. You ought to see Brandon. I mean, he'll get into that truck with me on a road trip and we'll talk about things of the Bible for hours. I finally have to say, hey, be quiet. Let's turn on the radio. This is Christian music. I'm tired. But that's his hunger, man. Okay? We do impart a higher wisdom and knowledge of the divine plan purposely hidden. In other words, for a Christian, nothing should be a mystery, because God reveals all things to a believer. He holds nothing back. But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age, or of this world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age, who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away, but rather what we are setting forth in the wisdom of God, once hidden from the human understanding, now being revealed to us by God. Thank you, Jesus. That the wisdom of God, devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, is to lift us up into glory in His presence. I want you to keep reading there tonight sometime. Just read all the way down to 16, because it'll bless your heart. But for time's sake, I think you understand what God is trying to get across to you and I this morning. It's that we stop being babies. You've been born again for several years. It's time to start getting the meat of the Word of God and know who you are in Christ Jesus, so that when the devil tries to steal, kill, and destroy, he tries to cause you to go through the trials and tribulations, you'll do, because of the Word of God and the power that lives on the inside of you, you will go. You may have to go through it, but you'll go through it with victory in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you one thing further than that. And I've said this before, me and my wife do not go through trials and tribulations like most people. You know why? Because we have learned to get through them. We don't build a tent in the middle of a trial and tribulation because of anger, because of not understanding what we're going through. No, we just have decided to keep the peace of God, because the Bible says it's the peace of God that passes understanding. I don't care why we went through it. I'm just glad we went on through it and we came back out on victory. We came across to the promised land. And you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, do not need to be a people that is, how should I say this, Lord, is settled with kind of good. We need to be a people that know who we are in Christ Jesus, that we have rights in the kingdom of God. The devil is below us. We are above every circumstance. That's what the Bible says. I'm the head and not the tail. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm above and not beneath. If I'll follow the commands of the Lord, it's time to wake up and get fully matured in the kingdom of God so that, again, when we go through a few things that aren't pleasing, we don't give up. We don't back away. I watched a show yesterday. It was about a kid that had an anger problem because his dad was killed in a car crash because the dad drank and then got behind the wheel, and the son did not stop him. So the son then had a lot of anger and resentment and guilt because maybe he should have stopped his dad, and now his dad's not there. So they moved from one side of the country to the other side, thinking that, you know, he'll get a free pass and get away from that. And how many of you know the guilt and condemnation followed him? I've always said this. If you're an offended type of person and you left another church because of offense, it's dire that you get healed of that offense so that you don't bring that offense to this church. Amen. Because it's going to happen. I don't know of a single church that's perfect. Sometimes we blow it and I have to say, man, I apologize. We just blew it. I mean, the way some things are handled sometimes. But when you're a mature Christian, you walk in love. And we just have to say, I apologize. And let's move on. So in this story, though, obviously someone saw on the internet of this kid fighting a lot back when because of the problems. And so all it took is one little YouTube video that told his story, and they brought it up, and here's those anger issues came back up, and he started fighting. But the whole message of this was, don't ever back down. Because he had to confront some major things in his life. And he had to get over that anger and that resentment and that guilt. And today, that's what we have to do. We have to mature in the kingdom of God so that when things do happen in our lives that we do not understand. How about death? Because our family didn't understand a dad dying at 60, 64 or 5 when he should have lived to 100. The same man that preached on this stage the healing power of God. And people were healed because of the power he had on the inside of us. Okay? As a family, we could have said, well, why, God? Why did cancer, that devil cancer, take my dad? Well, actually, God healed him several times. And then one day, I don't know what you think, Mom, but I think he got a glimpse of heaven. It's a lot better up there. And then he said, with me, this is just flesh. It's not the real me. And you can get in that guilt and condemnation of, we could have given up. I could have said, well, maybe everything I'm preaching is just in vain. Yo mama. No, it's been demonstrated in my life, and it's truth, and it'll make you free. Amen. It's just time we live that way. I want to deal with something real fast that the Spirit of God told me to deal with before we let you pray, and then we're going to baptize, and I'm going to have some people come up here and join this church. It's time. If you're not a member of this church and you've been coming, and this is a place where God planted you, then you need to join it. People join on the first time that they come here because they know this is where God has placed them. But before I do that, I need to deal with something that the Lord told me to deal with. And it's dealing with things that we need to pray about right now. And it's part of your physical body. But there's people in here this morning, I don't know how many, I don't know who you are, that is dealing with ear trouble. I don't know what kind, if it's ear infections, just something in your ears you've been dealing with constantly, and God wants to heal you now. If that's you, I need you to come here right now and let me lay hands on you. So come here. Come on. Do it fast, please. Yeah, you're just dealing with something in your ears. I don't know if it's the fluid, whatever it is. You come here. God wants to heal you right now. I need some men just to back me up, please. You just didn't be dealing with some issues in your ear. Listen to me. The Bible says in 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, right? Okay. You either believe that word or you don't. Okay. You either believe it or you don't. Okay. You either have to believe it or you don't. You have to believe in the power of God to heal you in Jesus' name. So when I touch you, all I'm doing is adding my agreement to the healing power of God in Jesus' name. It's up to you to receive it and be healed. And when I take my hands off of you, I want you to say, I receive that in Jesus' name, and I am healed to the glory of God in Jesus' name. Father, everything that is making these ears not operate correctly, be healed now in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, everything, every infirmity, every problem in the ear canal, whatever it might be healed now in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord. Hearing come back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for complete wholeness in this body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that those hearing aids come off and hearing is perfect in Jesus' name. And Father, we give you praise and honor. Now it's up to you to take those things off and start getting that hearing back in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord, for the hearing coming back to this woman the way you created it to operate in the first place, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for the power of God that heals today, the demonstration power, and we give you praise for it. Thank you, Father, for this precious man of God. I say, ears be restored now in Jesus' name, and we give you praise. Now give God praise right now. Amen. All right, now, thank you. Now listen to me. I want everybody in here and everybody that are watching to bow your head and pray this prayer with me. If you're not born again and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you're going to get saved right now by praying this prayer. We're praying Romans 10:9. All the other people that are praying that are already saved are just praying it with you possibly, or they're learning this prayer to lead others to Jesus that would not come to this church. Maybe you can lead them to Jesus in a horse stall, at your place of business. It doesn't matter where you lead them, but this is why all of us pray this prayer. But especially anybody that does not know what would happen to them if they died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. If you ask Jesus to come into your life, I'm telling you, you will bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. And then while you live on this earth, you'll have heaven here because you'll be born again. You'll have the Word of God at your disposal. So all of us pray this prayer. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. This day is my God day because Jesus is my Lord. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. No one looking around real fast. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'm not going to embarrass you and ask you to come up here, but listen to me. Do not ever be ashamed of having Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you just prayed that prayer, I want you to acknowledge it to me and before God by raising your hand up when I say three. One, two, three. You're saying, when you raise it up, you're saying, I just prayed that prayer and I meant it, and I asked Jesus to come into my life. If that's you, at the count of three, get that hand up. Ready? One, two, three. Thank you, brother. Anybody else? Just get it up. I prayed that prayer and I gave my life to Jesus this morning. We're going to hand you a Bible. Thanks, brother. You can put your hand down when you... Is there anybody else? Don't miss this. If you just gave your life to Jesus and you had never had, and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, get that hand up right now. Let me see it. And then just put it right back down if you hadn't already. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Thank God for one. I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you. Now my brother in Christ. When I'm hurting, I need you. When you're hurting, got a big family. Amen. Before we baptize, because there's about four or five that's going to get baptized this morning. If you have, and you can leave that music going, mind, I like that music. It's soothing. If you know that you are called to join this church, I want you to just come down, and I just want to pray over you. We don't make a big deal over joining, like, you know, you gotta, you know, go away from another church and get their letter of resignation, but trust me, they that's how some churches they'll say, hey, someone moved here and they want a letter of, you know, whatever that is. Okay, just let them go. They're free. They're freed from us. I've never understood that, but anyway, this is a time to join and plant, and we're going to make a covenant. So if you believe that you're supposed to join this church, come down here right now and just stand here and let me pray over you. Amen. Come on. You might be coming here for a long time and you've never actually joined. Come on. Come on. Amen. Come on. I know people that have come for over a year, but they never really joined. And glad to have you. Amen. Amen. So honored. All you new people, thank you for coming. This is who we are. Thank God for the power of God. Amen. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The covenant that I want to make with you guys is simply this. The covenant and the promise is that we're going to preach that word. We're going to preach it from the front to the back. We'll counsel you. We'll help you any way we can. I mean, I can't tell you how many light bills we paid, and just wanting to be a blessing to people, because we want to do what we preach. The covenant I need you to make with us as a member of this church is to come to church. Be a part. If God opens the door of service, which He should, to serve Him is a glorious thing. Because listen, the thing you don't want to do in a church is become a fat sheep. Because I know sheep. I've told this crowd before, we ranch sheep and goats in Fort Stockton and Sonora. And when you get a fat sheep, they get that wool stuck in the mesquite tree and they don't have the strength to get out of that mesquite tree. The reason that you don't want to be a fat sheep is because you don't want to just receive and then not give out. And so the things that you will be taught here, man, sow them to your friends and let them know victory that's in Christ Jesus. That man, if they're struggling in addiction, man, we'll help them. We're not here to condemn them. We're here to, but sowing and releasing that back out to them, oh, that's a blessing of God. Amen. And so, if y'all don't mind, would y'all stretch your hands towards these people? Father, thank you, Lord, for them making a covenant, joining this church. It's an honor, honor to have you two. God, just bless them, sir. Teach them. Father, thank you for this precious, precious couple. It's an honor to have gotten to know these guys just a little bit. What they mean to you, sir. God, thank you. We receive y'all as members. Father, thank you for this precious woman. It's a pleasure, sir. Use her in a mighty way in this body. We just receive her as being a part of what we believe, the Word of God. God, thank you. Thank you for this precious mama. Gosh, it's such a pleasure that you're joining this church right after a hurtful time in your life, a loss. But Father, it's a pleasure now to cause her to grow and get strengthened in Jesus' name. Honored to have you, and I mean it. Father, thank you for this precious couple with a fantastic family. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that it is a pleasure that they have joined this church, being parts of others and seeing and doing, going through things at other churches. God, it's an honor that they picked this church now to grow in. So use them in a mighty way. Father, thank you for this precious woman. We receive you. We make covenant with you. God, use her. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this man. Give his life to the Lord this morning. It's a pleasure. I speak freedom to you, sir. I speak peace. You don't have to be lonely and upset any longer. Now you got family. People that actually love you. But more than that, you have a Father in heaven that loves you. And I know you're a man. Glory be to God. It's an honor to have you, sir. And finally, Father, thank you for this couple. It's a pleasure. Use them. Yeah, I can't wait to get to know them. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what they mean to you and the body of Christ now. And so it's a pleasure to have y'all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all just turn around. Y'all have to stay up here because that's the rule. That's the rule. Now, as we dismiss, obviously, I want the body to come. And does anybody remember last time which side we started on? This time it's over here. So with all the grace I have for this side, y'all just come right here and go down this way. So just come around. I want y'all to welcome these people as members of this church. And then I'm going to start getting ready. Any baptisms, I want y'all to go get ready, and we're going to baptize about four or five in some nice water. Amen. Did y'all put some heat in it? Yes, sir. Gotcha. Hey, by the way, y'all, because of the rodeo, in the morning they're starting to stain all of this area. So, if y'all don't mind, as you're coming and greeting, the rest of you, when you finish, whatever, we need to get all the chairs up. I do have one announcement that I want to make sure y'all get a hold of, and that's Vacation Bible School. Moms and dads, this is where I actually gave my life to Jesus. Is a Vacation Bible School, Otis, New Mexico, Otis Baptist Church. Our Vacation Bible School is June the 21st through the 24th. It's a Monday through a Thursday for 5-year-olds and 12-year-olds. And I want you to spread the word. It's just not for our children. I want everybody coming. I think it's in the evenings. And so it's a little easier for the parents that are working. But man, we need volunteers. We need people to sow into our children. But I want y'all to spread the word, because again, that's the greatest time of my life was Vacation Bible School. I would go to a lot of them, but man, I went to ours and gave my life to Jesus. So, amen. So again, write down and start spreading the word to all the kids' friends. June the 21st through the 24th is our Vacation Bible School. Amen. All right. Stand to your feet. If y'all don't mind, again, we're going to have to move the pool table, so he needs some help, some men to... I have someone that bought it, and they're coming this afternoon, but we've got to get it out of here. All the chairs, we're going to get up and get out of here. And again, before next Sunday, this thing should all be stained and looking nice. And then we're going to redo the carpet of the church, of the platform, and we should be good. Amen? Father, we love you. It is such an honor that all these people came to join the church. Father, we're so grateful that they chose this church to be a part of. And Father, I realize that there's people still praying about where they're supposed to be planted, because where we're planted, we grow. So Father, if this is not a church for them, I just ask you to find a great, great Bible-believing church that they can plug into. But if it is this church, God, show them. And I just thank you, Lord, for the growth of this church, and now 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 people joining this church. It is a pleasure. So we receive them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that one that gave his life to the Lord. And for all the people that come on Tuesdays to Bible study to hear the Word of God. And then to come back next Sunday. I can't wait to get here. We love you, sir. Now, you don't stay here. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You get to go with us. So, Father, we're going to take you. We get to go and continue to fellowship with you as we even leave this church. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause if you'll come right here. And then...